This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحان الله, we are going through truly a beautiful, beautiful portion of the Quran in Surah Al-Anbiya. And one of the things that we learn from this surah, which is extremely, extremely, extremely powerful, subhanAllah, is that whether you're on the side of belief or whether you're on the side of disbelief, whether you are accepting the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or you are rejecting it, all of us have been created with a great sense of impatience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off the surah with, اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون, that the day of judgment is coming closer and closer to people, but they are pushing further and further away with their heedlessness. You have the believers on one side, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ, that no one before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was granted eternity. If you die, أَفَا إِمِتَّ, if you pass away, are they going to live forever? So you have the people that are pushing away from the hereafter, because they don't want to acknowledge that death will one day come to them. And the only thing that's certain in our lives is death. The only thing that we know that will come to us without a doubt, no matter what we do, is death. And so they're pushing away for the reason that they don't want to face the consequences of not having prepared themselves for death. The believers, on the other hand, want to prepare themselves more and more and more and more. But at the end of the day, death will come to you when you don't expect it. As the Prophet ﷺ said, that he threw two rocks alayhi salatu wasalam one time, and another time he drew lines. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that this is al-insan, this is the human being, this is his date of death, and these are his hopes, his amal. His hopes always extend beyond the date of his death. So both the believers and the disbelievers will be shocked by death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in a state where some of us are waiting for the help from Allah to come, and some of us are wondering when the punishment of Allah will come. So in the situation of the believers, the Rasul, the Messenger, and the believers would be tested so intensely until they say, Mata Nasrullah, when is the help of Allah coming? On the other hand, the other side, this is in Surah Al-Anbiya, what are they saying? يَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, when is this promise of yours going to come if you are really truthful? So if the punishment of God's really going to come, why hasn't it come yet? So what we see from this is a conclusion. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we've all been created hasty. We all hate uncertainty. We all want to see what our future is going to be, and we all want a level of stability, and we all want to be confident as to what comes tomorrow. But at the end of the day, we don't even know if we'll be around tomorrow to see what we're planning for. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us in this inevitable waiting game. And everyone is in this waiting game for different reasons. And subhanAllah, there are two things that Allah concealed from each and every single one of the prophets, even the prophets themselves, who were receiving divine revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are two things that Allah concealed from each and every single one of them. Number one, Allah did not tell any one of them when the day of judgment is. Can you imagine? 124,000 anbiya, they're all calling to believe in the day of judgment and prepare yourself for the day of judgment. And not a single one of them knows when the day of judgment is. Even Jibreel alayhi salam, who was sent to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shadeedul quwa, the one who's endowed with strength, the one who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the communicator, the one who mediates, he does not know when the hour is. So none of them know when the day of judgment is. So the point is not when the day of judgment is, the point is, ماذا عدت لها, what have you prepared for? If we all knew when the day of judgment was, then we'd all change ourselves. Right? All of us would act in a different way. Can you imagine if we receive news that the day of judgment is in 2 months? Right? Everyone's going to act in a certain way. And man is very bothered by not knowing when the day of judgment is. That's why we've had 1989, the year 2000, 2012. I don't know what the date is now that the world's going to end. But you always have the new date, the new year. I remember, subhanAllah, before the year 2000 came in. I actually remember the paranoia, and I'm sure a lot of you do. People going to, you know, I remember particularly going with one of our uncles, bless his heart, to Walmart and getting these big old garbage cans and filling them up with water. We were literally preparing ourselves for the end of the world. You know, or this massive shutdown across all the, you know, all technology. Right? We are so curious to know when the day of judgment is that we'll actually try to assign dates. And all of these dates come up empty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concealed it even from the most beloved to Him. So no prophet knew when the day of judgment is, even though all of them at the core of their message was, believe in Allah and prepare for your meeting with Him in the last day. What's the second thing that no prophet knew as it relates to time? Does anybody know? What's the second thing? Death, their own death. So they didn't know their own death, but that's actually, well, you can't say that not every prophet, because Adam alayhi salam did. There's something else. No prophet was told when the Nasr of Allah would come to them, when the help of Allah would come to them. SubhanAllah. These men who are receiving divine revelation, who are being told that they are the greatest of all of Allah's creation, these men who are facing all sorts of odds and obstacles, can you imagine how badly they wanted to know when Allah would actually help them? I mean, Nuh alayhi salam, who averaged less than a shahada every decade. Think about that. In 950 years, Nuh alayhi salam averaged a shahada, less than a shahada per decade. Every 10 years, right? So it took him more than 10 years to get one person to accept his message. The misery that Yusuf alayhi salam was living in. I mean, he goes from one test to another, right? When is the help of Allah coming? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Is the death of Khadija not enough? No, Abu Talib will die too. Is the rejection of the people of Mecca not enough? No, now the people of Ta'if are rejecting you too. Ibrahim alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam. Each one of these prophets, just when they think they're getting out of it, they're into the next episode and into the next trial. And subhanAllah, in many of these situations, there's no silver lining. There's no wisdom that's being made apparent to them. And that's part of the test of Allah. That's part of the test of Allah. Allah knows how bad you want to know why this is happening to you and when His help is coming to you. And that's precisely why He delays it. Because all of us have to learn to truly trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just with His capability and that He has power over all things, not just that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can work miracles in our lives and can solve all of our problems, but that Allah will solve our problems when they need to be solved. And that Allah's help will come to us when it's supposed to come. It will not come earlier or later than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has determined, and no one will know why. No one will know. That's part of the greatest test that we have, because we have been created hasty. We always want to know when's the help of Allah coming, both on a community level and on an individual level. I'm in this major test and trial of my life. Is it finally coming? You know, you think that the help of Allah is coming, and then your situation takes a turn for the worse. You say, SubhanAllah, the last 10 nights in the masjid in Ramadan, I was making dua. I was in Arafah making dua. At least things should have stayed the same. They got worse now? The next episode, after the next episode, after the next episode, it keeps on turning and turning and turning for the worse. Then Allah's help comes. But we've been created hasty. And even the companions of the Prophet ﷺ came to the Prophet ﷺ. And they are tortured and persecuted, and they're tired. They're just tired. You know, look, it's very easy. It's exhausting, wallahi, it's exhausting. If you love the Prophet ﷺ, and if you love the companions, it's almost exhausting to read about their torture. It's like you know the end of the seerah, but you're reading about it, and you're saying, Ya Allah, what was it like for them to be in this persecution? They were tired. And so all they said to the Prophet ﷺ was, أَلَا تَدْعُ لَنَا? Aren't you going to make dua for us? أَلَا تَسْتَنْصِرْ لَنَا? Aren't you going to ask Allah for His help? I mean, isn't enough enough? And the Prophet ﷺ tells them that you are too hasty. You're too hasty for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will come. And as long as you know that it will come, stop worrying about when it will come. Just know that it will come. And that should be enough to propel you. That should be enough to see you through your difficulties. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam, Sheikh Yasser spoke about this a few days ago. He saw the dream as a child. It starts with a dream. But did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell Yusuf alayhi salam when that dream would come true? When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, the light shone and it lit up the palaces of Damascus. But was the time frame given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? None of them. No one received a time frame. And that's where your tawakkul has to be strongest. In our own personal lives, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending things our way, our tawakkul has to be strongest as it relates to time. Don't be hasty. Don't be hasty. And don't sit there and try to overanalyze everything. And there are going to be things that happen in your life, wallahi, you will not see any silver lining. I mean, even the most optimistic person in the world can't spin this one in an optimistic way. There are going to be tests and trials that come to you in life like that, where you're just like, what is this? But you tell me what the silver lining was for Ibrahim alayhi salam as he was stripped naked and being thrown into that fire. Where's the silver lining in that for Ibrahim alayhi salam? Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just put the fire out in the first place instead of make it cool and peaceful on Ibrahim when he was thrown into it? Did Ibrahim alayhi salam even ask? When Ibrahim alayhi salam is going through this entire da'wah of his, this elaborate, beautiful methodology, the da'wah of Ibrahim alayhi salam is so strong, Ibn Kathir calls him Afsahul Anbiya, the most eloquent of the prophets. His arguments are perfect. He's doing everything right. And subhanAllah, here he is being thrown into a fire by his own father and by his people, and the only person who believes in him other than his wife, Sarah, is Lut alayhi salam, and he's not even here. His nephew, who's in another city now. He is all alone. Does he ask Allah, Ya Allah, did it really have to wait until I got thrown into a fire? Did I really have to go through meeting these different tyrants? Did I really have to travel through the land? Do I really have to go through this with Ismail? I finally caught a break with Hajar and Ismail. Do I really have to leave them in the desert now? Why, Ya Allah? What's the silver lining of that? There is none. And that's why after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points to the hastiness of man, He gives us the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because there is no man in history that had less of a silver lining in literally every trial that was sent his way, but expressed an unbreakable patience with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim never asks Allah when. He's building the Kaaba in a barren desert. He doesn't ask Allah, when are the people going to come? He makes dua for a Nabi. He makes dua for a prophet. A great prophet to come from his descendants. He doesn't put a time frame on it. And Allah rewards him thousands of years later with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are all the dua of Abraham. We are all the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He put no time limit on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he understood. Allah will work according to His time, not mine. Allah will work according to His plan, not my plan. And even if I can't see a silver lining in what's happening in my life, the only thing that's required of me is to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling me to do. That's it. No one submitted like Ibrahim alayhi salam to the way things were playing out. And subhanAllah, I'll give you an example of a silver lining to end this, subhanAllah, that no one of us would have been able to see if we were Ibrahim alayhi salam. I asked you all if there's a silver lining to Ibrahim alayhi salam being thrown into the fire, stripped and thrown into the fire, and humiliated in that way, and then Allah making the fire cool and peaceful and tranquil on Ibrahim alayhi salam. No one would have been able to see it. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, the first person to be dressed on the Day of Judgment is Ibrahim alayhi salam. أَوَّلُ مَنْ يُكْسَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The first person to have his garment of paradise brought to him on the Day of Judgment and to be dressed is Ibrahim alayhi salam. If you were to ask Ibrahim alayhi salam on the Day of Judgment, was it worth it? Was it worth it? Do you think Ibrahim alayhi salam would say, no, I still wish the fire would have been put out and I wouldn't have had to go through that? No. Because Ibrahim was focused alayhi salam on the Akhirah, on the only thing that's certain, which is death and the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do not become hasty and impatient with Allah subhanahu with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decree as He decrees and plan as He plans, and only worry about how you're responding to His decree. Because Allah knows that those things, those confusing trials are going to continue to come to our lives, whether it's in the loss of wealth, or in the loss of family, or in the loss of reputation, or in the loss of health. They will continue to come to us. And we're always going to be asking those questions and looking for that silver lining. And sometimes you won't be able to see it until the Day of Judgment. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the firmness, that ikhlas, the sincerity, and the thabat, that firmness, to stay put, to continue firm, and to continue with istiqamah, to continue on His path when those tests hit us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to burden us beyond our scopes, not to burden us beyond our capacities. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are of the people that respond to the test of ease and the test of hardship in the way that He wants us to respond. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to never make us amongst those who question His decree, but instead to make us amongst those who are pleased with His decree. Allahumma ameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.